You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Coming your way at 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3, 96.5 FM, WISS, and of course, the Civic Media app. We are in Oshkosh, downtown Oshkosh, at our WISS studios, which we just love. And we're going to do two things, hopefully, today, Jim, as far as, like, appreciate the aesthetics of Oshkosh. We want to go upstairs of this building and see these amazing condos they built, completely restoring the beauty of this hundred and...
It's got to be 125.
I would say about that.
Yeah. 125-year-old building. And then we'd love to come over to the Olson Legal Group building, which is a former firehouse, with Nate Olson, sponsor of our Veteran Spotlight. Nate, thank you so much for everything you do for us, and we want to see your building. Is that okay?
Thank you. That's great. It's also 125 years
old.
Is it?
Is it really?
That's cool. Yeah.
Tip a little bit tight. Just tip it.
Kudos. No. Just think of, you know, one of those things that the walls could talk, but... I'm sure there was a time where it was on the docket to tear down, and somebody said, "We're not tearing this thing down," and now we would never tear it down.
Correct. You know
what I mean? We went through that.
I think it stopped functioning, I believe, in the late 90s, okay. And then Terry Labe from Labe Restoration, he had bought it from the city and did a great job. And just yesterday, I had someone from their neighborhood that wanted to just stop in and just see the building and just tell me what that building meant to the neighborhood back in the day when it was functioning.
Was there a fire station the whole time?
Correct.
So they probably had horse and buggy.
They had horse. I get a lot of firefighters that stop in and say, "I used to be here." So they tell me the story. So up until I think 1914 or 15, they had horses.
Wow.
Yeah.
Got any pictures of that or anything there?
We do. They did. Susan Hirschberg and Dennis Rudinger from RH Design Build had done the remodel, and they were able to find pictures from the museum of when it was being built, and then of the horses, the inside of the building.
Oh, and that's where your law office is.
It is.
That is so cool.
Do you ever think about turning the first floor into something a little more retail? You know,
a little more reputable.
Yeah. No. I know you're.
I put out a lot of fires every day.
I wanted to ask you, because I'm into like haunted places and stuff. Do you ever have any experiences there?
So I also have this. So two guys came and said that there is the ghost of Captain Jimmy Frank in the building that they swear they've seen him walk around. And they've been eating. They see him walk down the hallway. They see him go up the stairs. They talk about fire trucks just moving when the emergency brakes have been on, and they see it roll forward. So he's left me alone. I'm there very late at night, but so far, so good.
Todd,
you know, sometimes
I want to bring the equipment sometime and get in there.
Like, yeah, whatever they do. Magic.
You're welcome anytime. I love it.
Yeah. That is so cool. That, and we're talking about that, not to belabor, but downtown Oshkosh, how they've restored these buildings. Phenomenal.
You guys have done a great job. And John said we did two things. We're going to go upstairs and see the condos that were converted, and we're going to see your place. But it's really three things, because we drove around Oshkosh. We got lost coming here this morning.
So every time.
Three things.
So a lot of one-way streets.
You got a lot of no-way streets the way I drive.
You got a great city.
No, this is great, man. It's great being down here, and appreciate what you do for our veterans. And just to back up, if you don't mind, once again, the last time or two times ago that you were here, you're an Iraq veteran. Longtime veteran. Can you just talk a little bit about that, how you use that experience being in the military with what you do modern day?
I think I wouldn't trade anything. At the time, you'd asked me, and I said, I got to get out of here. I am done. Yeah. But I think everything in life, you look back in hindsight, and you don't, all that bad stuff that
what's part of who
being
you are.
Miserable, yeah. Is, you forget about that, and you look at all the good that came about. And I would have never had the opportunity to travel the places I've been had it not been for the military. Probably my relationship with, I'll still say superiors, because that's what we say in the military, but with judges and others, that taught me a real lesson in how you treat others. So we could go out, you might be a captain or a colonel, and we might have a great night out, and I'm just a sergeant or a private, but you got to know the next day, you're still a captain or a colonel, and I'm just a private. Mm-hmm. And when you can realize that at an early age, it really helps you out where that line is of this is when we're friends, but this is go time. And
I just want to say one thing. When you said sometimes you're miserable in the military, they want that in a certain way, don't they? I mean, they, you know, the old saying, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
I work through the week. I work pretty late, and people always go, I feel so bad for him. I go, don't feel bad for me. If someone would have told me back then, kid, this is what you're going to do. I just want you to work real hard from like Monday to Thursday. Go in at about 6, work till 10 o'clock at night.
That's us.
You can have your weekends off and you can have all this. I'd say, oh my, you signed me up. I'll take it.
Yeah.
So yes, working and doing that, in the military, you knew it was going to come to an end at some point. I was just talking to someone the other day and you'd be training and they always say, if it's not raining, you're not training, and you are miserable and it's cold. I remember being in Alabama in the summer and I thought I was going to get hypothermia because of the rain and then the wind.
In Alabama?
In Alabama. Yep. Fort McClellan, Alabama. But you just think, it's only temporary. I'm going to get a shower tonight sometime. They can't do this forever.
Well, you know, the guys from the, you were at 127, were you?
No, I was 32nd.
Okay. Well, yeah, but you weren't the 127.
Nope.
Okay, they went to Fort Shelby in Mississippi, Camp Shelby. Did you go there?
No, I didn't. There's a JR, a readiness training center down there.
Okay, but because what they said, Iraq was so much better than Mississippi, Fort Shelby. Todd, you'd appreciate this. They said that you walk in the bathroom, these cockroaches were the size of grasshoppers. It was so miserably hot, so whatever. Everything, you're just soggy all the time. They said Iraq was better than that camp in Mississippi.
I remember, I don't like humidity, so I imagine they were dealing with that. At least you didn't have that in Iraq. And I do remember there were some times where you've got all your gear on, and I remember just drinking these. You didn't have small water bottles. You had the big water bottles. Yeah. And I remember just drinking the water. It's well into the hundreds, and I just thought, as long as I keep drinking this water, I'm not going to die.
And it's true, though. I mean, you had to, or you could collapse and die.
And your motto that this too shall pass, and that sometimes you need to go through things like that. But as I said to you earlier, that made you who you are, too. You know what I mean? And that people,
definitely,
they think it's all bad, but really, it's really kind of good when you, in retrospect. But at the time,
definitely. I'm generally a very happy guy. And I think that's from the military, too, because it can be a lot worse.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I always think sometimes when you get on a different subject in this area, you hear a lot about suicide and different things, even in the veteran community.
Absolutely.
And I always go, it's just temporary. If they could just see, I can just get through this.
Mm-hmm.
And
Well, I mean, that's a great, it opens your eyes. You know, the number one thing that I came back from just my little trips over there was, kids over here, I'd like to take you over there and meet some of these little kids. They will idolize you. They would give anything in this world to spend 2 days. I don't care. Your worst day is over here. You got grounded. You flunked a test. You got broke up with your best friend, yada, yada, yada. Those kids over there would give anything to experience what our kids have. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't they, though?
Yeah, and it's just perspective. That you just don't know what you don't know.
Yeah. Hey, so you came out, you well-adjusted, and got into you have your own law practice. What's your focus on law? There's so many things, and I had many, many experiences with lawyers on both sides of the table. One time I got clipped pretty good at a business I had, my brother and I liked the attorney that was prosecuting us, and I said to my brother, I said, I want him on our side of the table next time. We did. We hired him.
You know, some of my best clients come that way. We'll do a mediation or something, and they'll go, gosh, I really like him, or they're on the other side of a real estate transaction.
Right.
And they end up calling me later.
I want you on my side of the table. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. All right. Do real estate?
I do a lot of transactional, so a lot of real estate, a lot of estate planning, a lot for businesses, starting a business, anything that comes up in the life cycle of a business, you know, hiring, firing, collections. I do a lot for banks.
Johnny and I are much older than you, but these baby boomer things, I mean, that estate planning is, because if you don't do it in the state gets in.
Yeah.
What happens to all my money?
And a lot of people, there's a lot of misconceptions about it. Estate planning should be a very easy thing. It should be a weight lifted off. It shouldn't be price should not be a deterrent. Not everybody needs a trust. Some people just, you know, you need your power of attorneys.
Right.
So you can go to the hospital and they ask you all the time, do you have a healthcare power of attorney? If you say no, they'll give you one. Might not look like one from an attorney, but it's going to be just as effective and it's free. So absolutely no reason why they don't have a healthcare power of attorney in case you're incompetent or incapacitated. Someone needs to make those decisions and you can avoid having to have a guardianship or something at the court level. Same thing for financial power of attorney. even the state has these forms. The Department of Health and Human Services, they've got the basic power of attorney form. Most people have beneficiary designation. That helps us avoid probate. There's a misconception of, I have a will, so whatever that will says, that's how it happens. A will is nice, but it's a safety net. It helps us catch things that maybe we didn't put as beneficiary designations, but a will equals probate. It's not valid till you go to probate court and open that estate. So we like to emulate what your wishes and your will are and do it through non-probate transfers. So beneficiary designation for your bank accounts, your checking, your savings, your life insurance, your investment accounts. You can put a beneficiary on your real estate through a transfer on death deed. So a lot of these tools are there. It's just understanding how they work, because beneficiary designation, it's great, but it's powerful and it supersedes everything. So if you did have a will or a trust that said everything to Nate, but your beneficiaries said everything to Mino, you get it all.
And wow. The beneficiary things, to think about that now, you can put a charitable organization there too. You know,
definitely.
We all of a sudden we'll get some money, and it's too bad somebody died, but it's also great that 5-6 years ago they said, look, I want to give some money to the new community. You know what I mean?
Yes. No, you definitely can. You have a lot of flexibility in beneficiary designation and doing that. I always encourage people when they have that charitable intent, there is a benefit sometimes to get in front and get to know the organization that you're going to give to. They like to know who you are for that reason.
Sure, right.
Just it's to nice to get money, but you'd also know, who is Nate?
Yeah.
Why did he want us?
Right.
Why did he like our organization?
We used to get there and work at the village, with the Veterans Village, and we would get checks coming in sometimes. Yeah. And we, you know, my husband wanted to donate. And it was the same thing. We wish we could have met him at some point to, you know, thank him. And 99% of the time, he was a veteran and, you know, really want to embrace it. So that's a great point. Yeah. We got to send it a break here in a couple minutes, a minute or so. But what if you got nothing? What if like I had no will or whatever and dropped dead? What happens?
If you had nothing, we will find something. So let's say you just had a house, but you didn't have any documentation. Our Senate or legislator got together years ago, and they have a plan called an intestate succession plan. So we'd say, tell me about Mino. Is he married? Nope. Does he have kids? Yes. It's going to go to the kids equally.
Okay, I am married. Where would that go?
If it's going to your wife, well, but do you have kids from outside the marriage?
Right.
If you have non-marital children, then it's going to be 50-50. So there's a plan for everybody, a single person, married with no kids.
Have you been on the other side where there's been a will and then it was challenged? Because I always love reading that.
We just had a quick break. Pick it up right there. When we come back. Nate Olson, Olson Legal Group. Again, it was so great having Dr. Ames in here, getting personal information free.
Of course.
From these guys.
Yeah.
Have some strudel.
That's why John's in the.
You guys are. Wait till you get strudel. The bill.
That is good. Right.
Back after
there was this letter I read. If you like piña coladas,
you're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. Mind of the Mayor coming away from the WISS studios in downtown. Oh, gosh, the sun is up now. It's turning out to be a beautiful day. High of about, 55 today?
That is correct.
That's fantastic. Tank tops and biker shorts again today around the neighborhood.
Please don't do that.
No,
at least it's not a Speedo.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Why did you have to say that, right?
It's pretty tight. Goodness. Nate Olson, Olson Legal Group, joining us from Oshkosh. Can you pick it up right where you're at? And Jim and I both talked about a situation where somebody had promised us something very, and I'm not just saying money-wise, but I mean something very close, personal thing they wanted to leave us, and neither one put it in writing, and they died, and their family didn't have
to act on it.
So, I mean, even if it's not a big monetary thing, even those should be kind of documented.
We had no recourse.
Right, no.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, recently, probably the last 20 years, you're able to, even when you have a will, you're able to make reference to what's called a memorandum of tangible personal property. So in your will, you don't necessarily have to have everything defined that my this goes to this person, my ring, my that. But if you make reference to say, I may have one or more pieces of paper that I might have on the side that I keep with my will, they're going to be just as valid.
Wow.
So a lot of people will just keep a running list that's signed and dated, doesn't have to be witnessed or notarized, but that is just as binding as if it was in the will.
Wow,
so
I never
it takes
knew
away
that.
A lot of that, but there is sometimes a reluctance of people wanting to deal with it or wanting to make those decisions. I always encourage them, talk to your kids, see what they would like.
Right.
Sometimes you look around your house and you think, it's just junk, they don't want it. But you don't know. It might not be monetary value, but there might be a lot of sentimental value. It might be something that's there that just reminded your kids of you or what they might want that. And a lot of times you ask them and they'll go, yeah, just take it with you now.
Wow.
So that's a good way because you never know. And your kids can be contentious a lot of times when you have these things.
Oh my God.
A lot of issues come up that
and
I sit back.
You never think it would happen.
No. And I sit back and every good mediation, you need to get things off your chest. And I sit and I listen and I go, wow, that was bothering you since you were 5 years old?
Exactly, right? You've been hanging on to that, you know? I just want to say what you just said, Nate, about doing a walkthrough with your kids. That's kind of a cool thing to do, really, because it's like, wow, I didn't know that meant that much to you. You know, it's like, totally, Bob and I will put that in there. So, you know, and they usually agree. It's when the parents aren't around is when the fights start. So if you can do it ahead of time, I think it's a great peace of mind. Like, I loved when that was all done. So
it makes things easy. I'm a big one into being very transparent too. So when you have an incapacity or you have a death, someone usually is appointed as that power of attorney or that personal representative, that executor. And I always say, why do you want that job? It is a thankless job. Yeah. You know, everyone's got everything going on, but some people look at that differently. Like, I'm in charge. And it just sets a tone sometimes with everybody else. So I get a question of, well, I'm a power of attorney. I'm the PR. Do I have to share this information with my siblings? And I said, technically you don't, but why would you not? Because you just then start off on the wrong foot of kind of a distrust or why wouldn't you be transparent?
I know you love your job and you're phenomenal at your job, but at some point, just because you're a good person, that has to hurt a little bit when you're seeing these families that have been loving and whatever, whatever, and
it's like,
dad's gone, and
wow,
it's just little issues. I, you know, money, I'm very fortunate, but money is money, and sometimes you see things over not that much money, $500, $1,000 that people just don't talk anymore, or something of a like that sentimental value that. But it's unfortunate.
But when the Packer tickets show up.
That's true, though, isn't it?
That's one, too. That. But that's one that I'm seeing. It's just getting so expensive for some people.
Right.
They have to make a choice.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. One other thing we're talking about with the family situations. Who's really in charge? Is there one family member? Like, my sister was bank vice president. So she was, you know, it's like we all let her do all those things. Is it a good idea to get one person? One voice.
That or what I recommend sometimes, especially now we have a lot of blended families.
Yeah, that's true.
A co-PR, personal representative, two people working together. In our family, we have a co-situation because we have a blended family. So working with someone else. So that's always an option. By default, it tends to be the person that is maybe not as busy, is closer to mom and dad. Or by default, it's just the oldest daughter. They are maybe the caregivers and stuff.
That's exactly what it was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's the parents' decision. And
it should be. And
you need to interview your kids or your brother, whoever it's going to be. I remember doing that with my brother when my kids were not old enough. And I'm like, okay, let's give them some scenarios. Okay, if one wants to go to a really expensive college, the other one goes to the cheap one, does the kid who goes to the cheap school get the difference in that money? You know, that kind of stuff. Because you, like... But
so Jim made it into a game show, basically.
So that's why usually we put it into two buckets. So if you have two kids, we divide it and we say, here's the trust, equal amount. So if one goes to Harvard, it's coming off of their bucket. And the other one that's going to the tech, it's coming out of their bucket. So you can plan for that stuff. A lot of people think that it has to be the child that's closest by default because they live too far away. And we live in a digital age where you pick the best person, I always say. Pick the best person and also know that these documents, it's a Word document. Once you sign it, if you want to make a change and take out somebody and put someone else in, you just got to let me know.
Right.
Come in and sign it.
And that is so worth whatever, $3,000-$5,000 to get that peace of mind done.
No, you're like $500 to $750 for everything. Yeah.
I wish I would have known you.
That's why these big trusts are, this is my profession too, but they do a disservice a lot of times. And they hammer people on the front end for things that they might not need. Now, I will say, every situation's unique.
Right.
Everything. But not everybody needs the Cadillac of plans.
Well, that's, I mean, for $1,000, I would totally buy a peace of mind for that. Mm-hmm. With my kids, absolutely.
Absolutely. We are with Nate Olson, Olson Legal Group, sponsor of the Veteran Salute, Iraq War veteran. I want to give this to you as a personal gift. My book, 50 Strong, Four Decades of U.S. Veterans and Families Share Their Combat and Post-War Experiences.
Oh, this is great.
Yes.
And I even put a personal message
read the,
there.
You can read the whole thing there.
What did he say?
Go ahead.
Please tell your lovely wife that hanging out with you isn't as cool as it sounds.
Wow. That's isn't great. That nice? Boy, you want to keep that one on the coffee table.
Well, did you say your wife said, oh, you got to hang out with John? Oh,
I said, hey, I think they might be coming later today. And she's got a little MRI today, so
she's
going to try to make it.
Okay, one last quick super thing. We were talking about you and our other doctor here, Dr. Ames. It's cool when Jim talks about this incessantly. Brain drain. If you're really good at something, please stay in your hometown.
It's great. Oshkosh is a great community, like most communities, too.
Right.
It's awesome. The people you meet, how you meet them through different service clubs and things. But yes, stay here. Come
Absolutely.
Back here. This is a great place to raise a family.
Okay, we'll talk about the third space because I have a place to network. Okay.
Yes, we're out of time. Thank you so much for everything you do. Yeah. And thanks for coming down.
You're welcome.
See you. Thank you.
For WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Oshkosh Common Council approved a resolution Tuesday night that will make the city a sponsor of the Oshkosh Pride event at Leach Amphitheater in June. According to the resolution, sponsoring Oshkosh Pride will require no city cash outlay, but will allow the nonprofit organization free use of the Leach Amphitheater. Council member DJ Nichols.
And I think we can differentiate as a council between organizations that are profit generating, like Waterfest, and organizations that are trying to do something really good in our community for a group of people that might not otherwise have the chance to identify their community in Oshkosh, who their friends should be.
The vote to sponsor the nonprofit event was not unanimous. Council members Paul Esslinger and Jacob Flom voted against it. Election laws, abortion rights, and the role of public sector unions were among the hot-button topics the two candidates vying for a seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court argued over during Wednesday night's debate. With only 3 weeks before the election, Circuit Court judges Susan Crawford and Brad Schimmel discussed a wide range of issues, from abortion rights, redistricting, the state's voter ID law, and the future of collective bargaining rights for public workers. The exchanges were sometimes heated. At one point, Schimmel said Crawford was lying about his past actions involving a case. Later, Crawford disputed one of Schimmel's allegations about her donors, saying he had a, quote, very active imagination. At stake in this election is the court's ideological balance, which currently leans towards the liberal majority. This is important as a number of impactful cases might be on the docket in the coming months. The two candidates will face off in the April 1st election. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Coming your way from downtown Oshkosh at WISS. We love being down here in this beautiful city. Special thanks to Dr. Ryan Ames, Insight Eye Care, who is here. Sad that the time went by so fast and I still had numerous ailments that I didn't get to. Nate Olson, Olson Legal Group. Afraid that one went by too fast. I had legal things I want to talk to him about. But you know what I could talk about right now? Speak the language. Vodka. Tavia Hopsenberger, Old Station 31, Mind on the Mayor's top craft pick. This is really pure-looking Vodka. Welcome. Please tell us all about what you do at Old Station 31 in the cool little town of Dale.
Thank you guys for having us on. We really appreciate it. Yeah, so we are Old Station 31 Spirits in downtown Dale. Our distillery is in the old fire station, so that building was built in 1938.
What are the odds that both the last two people, old fire station? I can't wait to see your place.
I'm going to pop over there and see Nate's place before I get out of town.
Yeah,
today.
So are we.
And I think communities should learn from this that is worth the restoration. It's not cheap, but it is. We have one in Green Bay that we're going to be closing, and actually two of them. And coffee shops, offices, like you, that light manufacturing, I think that's very cool that people preserve the fire stations. They were built really well.
I thought I was getting one of those to live in. Remember we talked about that?
Did you really?
Yeah,
he went across from East High School, from West.
And have a cool little wood shop in it and everything. Yeah.
So one of the fascinating things, and I heard Nate talk about it as well, people come into the fire station and they tell us stories. Mm-hmm. They have memories and there's history.
Oh, that's cool.
And we don't really even have to prompt them. Mm-hmm. They come in and you can see kind of this look on their face and you're like, you were here before, weren't you?
Yeah.
And the stories just flow and it's really, really, really just so satisfying.
I know. Did you do the renovation?
So that building put up in 1938, retired in 1989. It was a few other businesses before we got it, so most of the restoration was done prior to us purchasing the building. But what we did do is just kind of return the nostalgia of the fire department. Have a little fire museum in there that we intended to just put artifacts in from historical fire departments.
Is that an original helmet or is that...
That is not a Dale helmet, but that helmet is from the 1930s.
Wow, because that's the kind I wore when I was a volunteer firefighter.
You were.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your service.
Don't say that. He never went on one. He got there late. He got lost. No, don't do that. Don't do that.
The bravery is something I admire.
You got to Nate, you said that. That makes sense.
You know what I actually did, though? So I did get there a little bit late. Okay, I was filling in for my brother, who was the actual thing. And I got a little bit late. So even though I'd missed the truck, I'd pull up and the truck was going down the road, I'd still put on, when I go in the station, I'd put on the helmet. Just in case it was a really big fire and they needed backup.
Actually, at the ready. Yeah. At the ready.
Actually, just in case there was a camera there. But anyway.
Whichever.
Hey, tell me about what you do there. Now you have a place where we can go in and buy drinks, but
we do.
More so, it's a manufacturing facility.
It is. So we have a hybrid still in there, and we are a grain to glass distillery. So what that means is we actually have a grain mill out back where we grind all of our own grains.
Mm-hmm.
And then the grains come into the distillery and we cook in there, and we have some fermenters in there where we do our fermentation, and then the still itself where we do the distillation. And then we also bottle, label, and sell out of the retail store.
I love your packaging.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's something that you see on the shelf. The flavors of vodka, is that new? I should know.
Well, I'm going to just read some of these. Original vodka made from 100% white organic corn, gluten-free, non-GMO, no artificial sweeteners, no artificial flavors, smooth and sweet finish. Then a berry vodka, or original vodka with equal parts blueberry and blackberry. Citrus vodka, 70% key lime, 30% lemon. Lavender vodka, an original vodka with lavender from the fragrant Isle Lavender Farm on Washington Island in Door County. Wow.
We've had a lot of great partners in this adventure, and the Fragrant Isle Lavender Farm has definitely been a good friend.
Yeah. And they sell it up there too? You must have distribution points, right?
So the vodka, the lavender one is new. We're just releasing that this spring. You can get cocktails made at the cocktail lounge with it, but we don't have the lavender for sale until probably May-ish. There's a lot of nuances when you're working with botanicals. They turn funny colors. Strange things happen to them. So we have to make them a little more stable.
So you're using the actual lavender. You're using the actual thing.
Right.
I mean, if there's such a thing as healthy vodka. This seems like healthy vodka, doesn't it?
And do people then just drink this on the rocks?
So let's talk a little bit about that. That's a really interesting point that you bring up. The white organic corn is one of the sweetest corns.
Okay.
So one of the challenges that you're faced with when you're making vodka is you have to crack the corn apart, not too much and not too little.
Wow.
It turns into porridge if you crack it too much. And then if you don't crack it enough, you don't get all of the starches and the sugars out of it. So once we cracked that code of how do you get it apart, no pun intended, cracking. Once you crack the corn correctly, then you put it into the cooker where you add some enzymes to it. And that's where the starches and the sugars get released. So you can't cook it too long. You can't cook it too short. And then what happens once you actually get to the actual vodka itself, it's got a really sweet finish at the end because it's white corn.
Wow. So we don't have to put... vodka's really being sweet. Like,
isn't that a funny statement?
Yes.
I totally agree. So if you've never had a white organic corn vodka,
I guess I haven't.
Let me read the recipe in this one, though. The Firehouse Berry Mule, okay? Fresh blackberries and blueberries muddled. You're a great muddler, Jim.
I am. I look old-fashioned.
He really is. With our homegrown mint, a little squeeze of lemon juice, and a dash of Fever Tree ginger beer. So yummy. Topped with a skewer of berries, homegrown mint, and candied ginger.
Okay, that ginger sounds refreshing.
The street. Wow. There you go.
That sounds good.
Wow.
It's delicious.
And are you the... What do you call it? Not the chef. Who makes up those recipes?
The vodka meister?
Yeah.
So I originally started doing it just myself and realized that my creativity has limits and so does my liver. Thus.
Conrad, give the bell. Give the bell.
Thus, I needed to hire a team of people to help me out. And there are a lot of volunteers.
I bet.
They stand in line to
market
volunteer.
Research for these kind R&D. Of things.
Well, you don't, right. Like Jim said, though, you don't, like, okay, you know how I drink my vodka? With Tang. I really don't.
Okay, that one's not on the menu.
I know, I was looking for that. But you're talking about, okay, talked about, Jim, you mentioned sweet, okay?
Yeah.
How about this one? The caramel apple a la mode, pressed apple juice, caramel, Old Station 31 vodka, half and half, cold foam and cinnamon, crisp and creamy combination that leaves you wanting more.
That is a delicious one, too.
Wow.
So we're trying to steer away from adding sugars in general and artificial things into our, not only our vodka, but also into our cocktails. So we spend a lot of time researching those things that you want to mix with your cocktail to try and stay away from the sugars and the artificial flavors and the artificial colors. And it's a challenge for sure, but we're committed.
So those of us who aren't familiar with flavored vodka,
mm-hmm.
You sell it, you make it. It's obviously selling, or you wouldn't keep it on. And then you give us recipes to use. Because I wouldn't even know the first thing to do with that until Johnny read those things.
Yeah, I've never seen a menu where every single item is displayed or every ingredient is displayed.
Right.
Can I do one more? You must have come up with this one, obviously, because you named it after yourself. So,
uh-oh.
Was it the Tanya? Where did I see this one?
The Tavia's Lavender Coconut Martini.
Wow. Yes, there it is. Okay, yes. Listen to this one. Listen to this one. Mm-hmm. Lavender vodka, coconut liqueur, and coconut milk topped off with egg white, toasted coconut flakes, and a little honey dipper. Great way to try lavender vodka for the first time. That's phenomenal. But there was one other one that seemed it was a five alarm. Listen to this one. Five alarm vodka margarita. Citrus vodka, lime juice, orange liqueur, slices of fresh jalapeno paired with a glass rimmed in Tijon?
Tajin.
Mild Mexican spices consisting of lime, chili peppers, and salt with a wedge of peach. If you like margaritas, you'll love this. If you don't like spicy, just ask for it without jalapenos. So creative.
That's a fun one.
Wow.
But you know, some of these fit different occasions, too.
Like absolutely.
That, I can see having that with, you know, kind of a fiesta. If, you know, tacos having big Mexican fiesta or whatever.
For sure.
And then... the other one seemed like more of a just a refreshing drink, you know, like it was hot out and
the other one though seemed like a good after dinner drink.
We have the backside is ice cream cocktails. So those are awesome after dinner drinks, but it's important to have something for everyone.
Right.
A lot of people who pop into the distillery are kind of in the same boat. I think I hear you guys like, I wouldn't know what to do with this vodka. And
absolutely.
What am I supposed to drink it with?
We would drink it. But that's all we know. We know.
We'll get that on the menu for you, Lionel.
Which is the Milo special?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Our cheapest vodka possible and Tang.
And questionably flavored.
So how did you?
$1.75 a glass.
I might have to give it away.
Yeah. Everybody's into, you know, these microbreweries and making wine, making vodka. What was the attraction?
I'll give you the condensed version of that story. So my husband worked for his own business. He is a printing press repairman, and he traveled all over the world doing this.
Well,
after COVID, he decided he wanted to a career change because he was traveling so much. So his brother bought a restaurant, and our distillery, the fire station, is actually attached to the restaurant.
Oh, cool. Oh, cool.
Two separate businesses, but there's a breezeway in between the two.
You guys own Dale.
That's three of the seven buildings in Dale.
There you go.
And then my husband decided that he was going to go help his brother kind of get the restaurant up and going. And he was bartending, and he saw how much vodka they were selling on the weekends because they were open for breakfast and they serve Bloody Marys.
Oh,
Wisconsin loves Bloody Marys.
Absolutely.
So that was the birth of, we should open a distillery. And then the fire station became available right next door. And I brought in a picture. I'm not exactly sure.
Well, do you get during the break? Quick break. Bring it out. We'll talk about it. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know where it went.
I mean, if somebody wanted to open a distillery or whatever, you would hire three people that would do all this stuff that you do personally. Maybe six people. Where do you find the passion, the energy, and the creativity to put all the... I mean, I'm not kidding. Perusing your menu is like enjoyable reading.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's supposed to be. Sit down. We'll talk a little bit more about...
And I want to hear about Hank, too. Everybody thinks it's your husband, but he said that we're on radio.
Hey,
he would
kick Milton's butt.
Yeah, he would. That dog is pretty solid. And that's your mascot? Is he in the bar a lot? In your distillery a lot?
He comes to the distillery with us pretty often.
He looks very...
Chill?
Yes.
He's super chill. He's a rescue. He originally came from Houston, and then we adopted him from a foster shelter, I guess.
That's what Jim and I did an event
We've done some fundraisers for those.
Were they from Houston, Jim?
You know what? I think one of their dogs was. It was a dog kind of parade or show.
The hurricane down there and everything?
Right.
Yeah. And beautiful dog. And it was just abandoned, wandering amongst the carnage. Same thing with him, I bet, huh?
I assume so.
Yeah. Okay. We get sent a quick break. Tavia Hopfenberger, Old Station 31 in Dale, Minor the Mayor's top craft pick. This is fun. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Phenomenal time in downtown Oshkosh here at the WISS studios. Tavia Hopfenberger, Old Station 31, the Mine on Mare's top craft pick. Amazing. They make their own vodka. They've got numerous creative recipes. How do you do it? Do you just take a bottle of vodka and think, well, I wonder how lavender would taste this? I wonder how I'm looking at something homemade brown sugar would take. Charred pineapple sherbet would taste. And this is all you.
Yes.
That create this. It's amazing.
It's my original desire comes from cooking and baking. So my mom, when we were kids, Saturday and Sundays in the kitchen, creating whatever cake, pie, she still is a phenomenal cook.
That's nice. They let you deviate from the recipe. Dry stuff.
You have to. Yeah. And there's some creative recipes in there too, because you don't have sugar or you don't have a something. So mom would be like, oh, it's fine. It's no big deal. We'll just throw in some la la la. Like, I don't even know what that is.
So at our contest, people are going to be, there's 10 people that are in this this contest and you're one of them. And people are going to come to your place, right? Have a drink and then vote for you, right? That's the plan.
That's what
you want. Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me the hours and the location. Maybe not everybody knows where you are.
So Dale isn't very big, but 96 runs right through it.
Right.
So if you know where the Fox River Mall is, Wisconsin Avenue, that exit, we're 12 miles. Once you get off that exit, it's 12 miles straight out on 96.
Okay.
We're on what would be the south side of the highway, and it is connected to Wally Still. That's a restaurant, my brother-in-law's restaurant. And the fire station is right next door.
Okay, cool.
So we have winter hours right now, which are Friday and Saturday, 5 to 9, and Sunday, 10 to 2. And then starting in May, when all of the tourists start coming out our way, Wednesday through Saturday will be noon to 9, and Sunday will still be 10 to 2.
I was going to say, what a great little venture out, even from Green Bay or Apton, wherever you're in this whole area, to come to a little place. I just want to read. Did you write all this stuff?
Yes.
Very good creative writing.
Thank you.
So I just want to read some more of this because it just captures your imagination. Visit the fire museum filled with antique fire equipment from various fire departments around the area. It's right next door to the Captain's Cocktail Lounge. We also have a store you can check out, clothing and bar items that are fire themed, and gift boxes that include a bottle of our spirits and tonics or ginger beer. And of course, we have the still and all of our production equipment for you to see. We make our own spirits here versus buying neutral grain spirits. Thus, we have a grain mill, a cooker, fermenters, a hybrid column still, bottle washer, filler, and production space. We label and package all of our own bottles in the basement.
Yes. You have to come in just to see the
still. Absolutely.
Even if you don't understand distillation or have a, if you don't even want a cocktail, that's perfectly fine. You just have to come in and see the magic of that still. My husband designed that
still. Do you want to know what my first paying job was?
Sure.
Got a nickel for helping my grandma with her still, where we'd make paste with sugar and flour and warm water. It would make a paste. It would use that with the coils where they have a juncture, the condensation would escape.
Sure.
And I'd fill out the condensation holes on my grandma's still in her basement.
There you go.
So if you need some part-time help. I'm here.
Need some condensation. Nice. Tell me about the picture that you have. This hangs up in your
in place? The distillery.
Okay, tell me about it.
So the picture is of my family. My family is deeply rooted in the fire service.
I can see that.
So both of my sons, both of my daughter-in-laws, my husband, my dad, and my brother are all in the fire service. And collectively, there's about 114 years of fire service in our family. Outside of that immediate family, my uncles, my nephews are all in the fire service as well. So this picture is actually taken from the 9/11 Memorial Walk at Lambeau Field that Pierce sponsors. Mm-hmm. Our youngest son got us into it, and now every year we go and do the stair climb in memory of all of those who perished.
God bless you for doing that, boy. Well, I think about that. When I live four stories above our studio, and sometimes if the elevator is really slow, I have to walk up, mm-hmm. and I'll be in that third. And I actually think of this. I'm going up three, four flights, and I'm breathing. These people in their full gear.
In their gear.
Going up Lambeau Field. Wow.
It's impressive. And that this picture is of them in their fire gear, and that's how they walked up the stairs.
And with the big tank in his back?
Yes. There's a price to pay when you do things like that, and we don't really appreciate it until you're trying to do it yourself.
Yeah. And your family, you said, is just committed to serving communities, right?
Yes.
That's awesome.
It is awesome.
On the, your lane is vodka.
Right now.
Oh.
But we have expansion.
I'm just curious about, do people build on that, like the bourbon, or do you build on that? Okay, because that's we had.
Is that the next step?
Well, we had a couple people on there, and they kind of had. Anyway, you tell me.
So on deck, we have that the lavender vodka that I talked about that we're releasing.
Right.
But we also have some. We have three bourbons in the distillery right now. So two of them are still in the barrels and aging.
Right.
And then the other bourbon, we bought four barrels. So we're new. We just opened in August.
Wow.
So
but that has to age too, Lily.
It has to age. Yeah. So when we won't make our own bourbon until this summer. So in the interim, you can purchase bourbons. Sure. So after extensive
recipe.
Scavenge, yeah. We went around looking for bourbon and we found some 4.5-year-old bourbon that we liked, and we liked the philosophy of the company that we bought it from. Mm-hmm. So we brought that in and it's mixing now, right? And we should be bottling that by probably this next week.
Oh, wow. Oh,
but we won't have that for sale until May.
Well, that's all right. April, then that's when we go to summer hours. So we'll get in there and have that. Hey, will you then bottle and you'll label just like you're doing with the vodka? You're
absolutely.
Still going to be, it's going to be internal. What is the raw material that you'll, when you get into your own manufacturing, right mm-hmm. now you manufacture your own vodka and that's white corn.
White organic corn.
White organic corn. What is the base for bourbon?
Blue organic corn.
Ah, Really?
Yes. So the theme will be red, white, and blue. So we have a
you
white organic
Miss Marketing.
Corn.
Absolutely.
Love it.
We'll have the white organic corn, the blue organic corn, and a red organic corn.
Wow. This is amazing.
It's pretty cool what you're doing.
Tavia Hopsenberger, Old Station 31, Minor the Mayor's top craft pick in downtown Dale. Amazing stuff. Amazing presentation you got here. But more amazing, you guys are so concerned about serving communities and putting your life on the line. Running into burning buildings when everybody else is trying to run out. God bless your family heritage.
Thank you.
And I really mean that. Can't wait to come to your place.
Thank you.
Sounds
we look forward
phenomenal.
To seeing you.
We will
be
there.
It's going to be fun to watch you grow.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Town of
that.
Dale, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.